welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
We are starting a new sermon series this morning that we have entitled Crossing Over. And we're going to be talking really the next 4 weeks about what it looks like to walk through a process of transformation in our lives. And I don't know if you've become aware of that at any point in your walk with Jesus, but there seems to be a place that he tries to take us from and then places that he tries to take us to. And sometimes that's in our character, sometimes that's in our relationships, sometimes that's in our faith or in our understanding of spiritual matters, that there's this process that we enter into in following him where he doesn't just say, come to me, he says, follow me. There's a place that he is leading us. And oftentimes in that process, we move from one place to another or from one state to another in our spiritual growth and in our development. And that really is a process of transformation. It's a process of change. And depending on how comfortable you are with change in your life can really depend on some of your experiences and really dictate how you enter into a transformation process with the Lord. And some things are easier for us to say yes to Jesus in, some of those things are more difficult, and those often vary because we are varied as well. And so we're going to be talking about what it looks like to go through a process of transformation. And over the last couple of weeks, I've been reading a book, and it's entitled The Trails of Yesterday, and it's by a gentleman named John Bratt. And John Bratt was a man who immigrated to the United States from England. He came at the age of 21, sold everything that he had, and made his way to the States. He came and landed in the United States during the middle of the Civil War, and so that was his entrance into our time in history, and began to just kind of make his way in the world. And this book, Trails of Yesterday, is really just kind of his memoirs. Just kind of this is what he went through in his life. And ultimately, he ended up in the Nebraska and Wyoming area. He was the mayor of North Platte for 2 terms. So he was running around kind of in our area. He references things here and ultimately was in the cattle business, part of the railroad construction, and then the building of the cattle business in Nebraska, Colorado, and Wyoming. So really interesting stuff for us just in the context of where we live. But one of the things that was interesting to me was as he was describing some of the things that would take place on a cattle drive, in particularly when they were going through river crossings. And so there was a period of time in a couple chapters in the book where he's referencing bringing up large cattle drives from Texas, bringing up really Texas Longhorn and crosses in regards to that, and thousands and thousands and thousands. And of all the perils and things that they would deal with on the trail and in those travels, one of the things that was the most dangerous was when you were crossing rivers that were really swift and swollen over. And there were 3 kind of stages to that process. There was getting the animals to get into the river, and then there was crossing the river, and then there was getting the animals out of the river. And by far, as he was describing the process, the most perilous moment in that crossing over was in the middle. It was in the middle. It wasn't coaxing them in, and it wasn't getting them out. It was what would take place in the middle of the river. And what he would describe is they would get the animals moving, they would get the herd moving, and they would put those that were the most trail broke and kind of seasoned as far as animals in the front to kind of lead the way. And they would put a few pretty good cowboys on the front side there. But their best riders were always in the middle. Because what would happen is as the animals would kind of get into the river, there was a coaxing process to get them to that place. But as they got into the middle, and either the current became more swift, or they lost their footing and they moved from being able to walk on the ground to having to swim, depending on how large the river was, describing crossing the North Platte and the Snake River at flood stages. And there would be seasons where it would be cold. There would be a point in the crossing where it would be very, very difficult. And the animals would either be scared or the animals would be uncomfortable. And it was at that point that things were the most perilous, because there was a tendency for animals to begin to turn back. That the cattle in the herd would decide, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. And they would start to turn their noses back the way that they had come from, longing for their home range or longing for just to get back on solid footing. And it was at that point that what would take place, and he described it as this, the cattle would start to mill around. And it was a term that meant that they began to turn in on themselves. And as those in the back and in the middle were trying to make their way across, and those that had made it into the middle were looking to turn back, the cattle would basically start turning in on themselves, clamoring over themselves. And it was at that point that you were going to lose cattle, particularly calves, but not just the young or those that were small. And as soon as that took place, the most seasoned cowboys, the ones who really knew what was going on, those that were really without fear and were of high skill and capacity, they would come charging in on their horses into the middle of that milling, roiling cattle mess, and they would try to bust it up and get them turned and get them out. And the longer that the milling took place, the more cattle were lost. The longer that the milling took place, the more cattle were lost. But if they could get it straightened out, and if they could get the leads there, if they could keep them kind of nose to tail and moving in unison, they could get everybody across, and they could do it in a way where all of the cattlemen were safe and all of the cattle were as well. And that picture really illustrates the process of transformation. And that when it comes to the things where God would bring change and growth and maturity in your life, the most perilous moment where all that God is trying to do in you could be lost in an instant, it's not in saying yes to that process, and it's not the final emergence of what God has done as a transformative work in you. It's in the middle of the process when things get difficult. It's in the middle of the process where things are difficult. And so that picture to me was really a good illustration of how many of us respond to the transformation process in our lives. The places where God is intending to bring whole and lasting change in us as persons or in our relationships or in our priorities, that there's a moment where it's uncomfortable, it's maybe scary, and it's unfamiliar, and we just want to turn back. And it's in that moment that we become the most resistant to the things of God, even when we know that they're the best things for us. And this is frequently due to our perspective, I believe. That when we are in a process of being changed by Jesus, when we are in a process of being transformed by the Lord, we have a tendency to think about our crossing over like walking through a doorway. We think of it as crossing a threshold. That it's like instantaneous. It's from one step to the other, rather than going through this swollen river where there's really this process and this push, and really there's this intentional movement to get to the other side. We think of it as just kind of walking through the doorway as a kind of a single step, that we move from just one place to another, that we move from one state to another. And some of that is due to just kind of our culture and the way that we live in kind of this instantaneous expectation of how things are. But then some of this is kind of informed by oftentimes some of the metaphors used in Scripture, right? Even today, as we were celebrating communion, you've been moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Christ, right? There's this idea of you've gone from death to life, and you've gone from darkness to life, that you've gone from sinner to saint, that there's this instant regenerative work that Jesus does in us. But then there is the reality that for that to be like worked out in the way that we actually treat people, in the way that we actually live our lives out, we recognize that there's a process there, right? That in Christ, I'm no longer a sinner, but I'm a saint. But then sometimes if you were to talk to those around me, they would say, well, I didn't see the saint today, but I saw that old guy, right? That there's this, when we're honest about those things, then we can see that maybe there's a process there. And there are stages of transformation. And when it comes to salvation, when it comes to the work of Christ on the cross being finished, when it comes to you being transferred the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, that is in an instant when you profess faith in Christ. But for that to be worked out in the experiences of your life and in the expression of your character, right? For some of us, we would say we're still in process, right? We recognize that. And if we would think about the process of change or the process of transformation in that regard a little bit more frequently, then we would stave off what I would say is commonly our experience is that when we go into a time of change, that God's doing something new in us, there's a point where we just start to mill around. We start to say, This isn't comfortable. This isn't familiar. I didn't know it was going to cost this much or hurt this much or take this long. And it's in those moments when we start to mill around. Listen to me. When we begin to mill around, we actually compound the time it's going to take. In the hesitancy that we create in the transformation process, we long to be changed, right? We want to be changed into the likeness of Christ in the way that we speak, in the way that we live. We know that it's happened on the inside. We want to see it worked to the outside, and we have a longing for that. But when we go to milling around, we actually make that process a longer stage. And so what we're going to do this morning, we're going to look at the nation of Israel. We're going to look at really some places that if you've grown up in the church, if you're a little bit familiar with Moses and Exodus and some things like that, these things are probably going to be familiar to you. But I want to look at three places that we typically look as a single moment of crossing and see them as a stage of transformation in the life of Israel that really illustrates to you and I the perils of milling around and really the purpose of what God is doing in that process. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and get it out. You can raise it up. If you got your smartphone or your tablet, go ahead and open up your Bible app. Lord, we ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you would speak to us through your living word today. Lord, give us the leading and the courage of the Holy Spirit to put it into practice this week. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at the transformation process in three stages. And this is really kind of an oversimplification in some regards, but we're going to look at it in the stages of just like crossing a river. There's the getting in, there's the getting across, and there's the getting out. And so in any instant where Christ is looking to bring change in you, where there is a transformation in your character or in your spiritual maturity, in your understanding, in your relationships, there's always an entering into the process, there's a going through the process, and there's a coming out of the process. And so we're going to look at kind of three crossings in the life of God's people that illustrate really these things as starting points. And the first one is kind of entering in, and it really, in the life of Israel, it begins with the Exodus. Okay, so the nation of Israel, if you know kind of the backstory, Joseph goes to Egypt, and then Jacob and the whole family comes there, and then there's a period of years where the family just grows like crazy, to the point that the Egyptians become fearful of them and their growth, and so they enslave them, they use them as indentured servants and oppress them for a series of time. And then you have God call Moses to be the spokesman of God and to come and bring liberty to his people. And so Moses comes, and you've got kind of the power struggle between him and Pharaoh, and you have the 10 plagues, and then Pharaoh finally says, you know what, you guys just get out of here, I don't even care anymore. And at that point, there are 600,000 men in the family. Like, that's a big family, right? Some of you had a family gathering just a little, you know, just maybe last night for 4th of July. 600,000 is what Scripture counts, not including women and children. And then there were actually others that went along with the people of Israel. An interesting thing that I just kind of bumped into, that Scripture says that there were others that went. It wasn't just the people of God that led out as a family. There were others that said, hey, I'm going where they're going, and went with them. And so there was a huge group that are going and they're out. They've seen the demonstrated power of God. They have been liberated and they're moving out away. And then all of a sudden, many of you know the story, Pharaoh comes in hot pursuit, right? He says, hey, wait a minute, this is a really bad economic move on our part. And so we need to get back this human capital, and so they come in hot pursuit with all of the army. And keep in mind, the people of God at this point, they have seen God demonstrate his power, care, and concern for them over a series of 10 plagues and over that time being sent into this place of liberty. And so now all of a sudden, they're in hot pursuit, they're coming after them, and the people cry out really against Moses. They don't want to go any further. They find themselves backed up to the Red Sea, right? A crossing that is uncrossable. They find themselves in this place, and in Exodus chapter 14, verses 11 and 12, we're just going to look at these two verses to illustrate kind of the hesitancy of entering into the transformation process. But this is what they said. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out to the desert to die?" Hey, the cemeteries were full there, so you just brought us out here to feed us to the birds, right? This is a pretty morbid perspective of their predicament. "What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'?" They have forgotten pretty quickly how bad they had it. "It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians to die in the desert." This was God's people. This is God's chosen people. Okay, if you ever have a place in your life where you think, "Man, I don't have enough faith for God to really care about what's going on in my life," you probably have at least more than this. Moses, did you lead us out here to die? We told you, leave us alone. We didn't even want to come out here, Mo, right? We wanted to stay at home. You brought us out here. Like, we didn't even want to come. It would have been better for us to just stay there. And so they balked at this process. Now, you know the crossing of the Red Sea, right? And you're aware that God speaks and Moses holds up his staff and the sea parts and they go through. And we think of this as a singular crossing, right? You know, and they go in and they walk on dry land and they come out. And that's a good way to look at this. But you know what? This was actually the step of crossing into a transformation process, where they began as people with no faith, where they began as people who would rather go back and be slaves than risk it for God's promises. And that's a sad place to be. I would rather be broken and at least familiar. I would rather be broken and at least existing than to risk finding wholeness. See, and that's something that we wrestle with. Right? You can see that they're comfortable with their discomfort because at least it's familiar. You can see they've got like an at least mentality, and this comes up a bunch of times. At least when we were there, like, we had something to eat, right? At least when we were there, we weren't going to get killed by the army. Like, at least we were. They had an at least mentality, and they were willing to settle for the least. And there was a lack of resiliency. For all of the hardship they endured, they really weren't that tough, were they? Where as soon as they saw Pharaoh's army in pursuit, and you've got a people group that's over a million strong. Oh, woe is me. Like, there was nothing in them that said, let's fight, let's contend, let's pursue liberty. There was nothing there. See, that's how they started. And crossing the Red Sea, on the other side of the Red Sea, they didn't change. The transformation process for them was not going through the Red Sea. That was crossing the threshold. That was entering in. That was in the illustration of crossing the swollen Snake River. That was just getting into the water. Because the first part of crossing into the transformation process for them was the crossing of the Red Sea. The middle stage of kind of going through, crossing through the transformation process, that was the wilderness. It was what happened on the other side of the Red Sea. See, the change takes place in us, not when we say yes to going into the process. The change takes place to us as we go through the process. If you look at the disciples, and Jesus said, "Come and follow me," and they said, "Okay," they didn't really change very much. Just as they made that decision, it was over the 3 years of being with Jesus. It was the process of walking with Jesus that brought about the transformation and change. And really, at the end of it, not very much, right? I mean, at the end of the 3 years, as Jesus is being arrested in the garden, Peter looks like the same old Peter. The disciples and some of their infighting looks like the same old disciples. I mean, they didn't really even change that much. But it's in that process that the change takes place. And that this wilderness moment for God's people is arguably the most important stage in what God was trying to do in transforming them. And it's also the most difficult. See, sometimes we fight the Lord so much that when we finally say yes, we feel like we did the hard thing. No, you didn't. You just now agreed to going through the hard stuff that is going to be required for you to ultimately step into the things that God has for you. And so we actually just say, we make the saying yes the hard part. No, the wilderness part is the difficult part. And so the Israelites move, they get on the other side of the Red Sea, and they find themselves in the desert. They find themselves in the desert. And so in Exodus chapter 19, as this is crossing through the river, Exodus chapter 19, verse 1 and 2, it says, on the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day they came to the desert of Sinai. This is Mount Sinai. This is where Moses goes up. This is where the Ten Commandments are given. And a lot of times we just kind of read through the story. We're just kind of checking marks and we're kind of moving on. We're not connecting dots. But it took them from crossing the Red Sea to getting to Sinai, it took them 3 months. So for 3 months, they're just kind of wandering around the desert, and they get to this place and they stop, and now God speaks. He imparts the law to them. He gives them the outline for how to do the tabernacle, and he begins to meet with them. And do you know how long they stayed there? We don't, because we don't read it. We don't think about it. We just kind of keep going through. And you'd actually have to go to a different book to get it, because in Exodus, it just talks about all that happened in that place. But Numbers chapter 10 tells us that on the 20th day of the second month, the second year, the cloud lifted from the tabernacle, and the Israelites set out from the desert of Sinai. They were there for 2 years. We don't read that into the script, do we? We just think that they showed up, you know, they got the Ten Commandments and a roadmap to the Promised Land and keep going. They were in that place for 2 years. They were in that spot for 2 years. And for 2 years, God was meeting them at the tabernacle. For 2 years, they were learning how to worship. For two years, they were becoming familiar with Yahweh. And he was saying, this is how you relate to me, and this is how you worship, and this is how you treat one another. This is how the people of God are to stand out apart from the way that the world works. For 2 years, they were supposed to be learning that. They were supposed to be transformed by the presence of God and the Word of God in their midst. It was a 2-year process that they were supposed to endure. And at the close of that, they pack up and they begin to move. And in Numbers chapter 14, it tells us this. Actually, we'll get to that in a second. After they packed up and they move from Sinai, they send the spies into the Promised Land. So for 2 years, God meets with them, gives them his word, gives them his presence. It's supposed to be transforming these people from the inside out. And then they send the spies into the Promised Land. The spies come back and say, man, the Promised Land is super sweet, but the people there are really mean, and I don't think we can do this. And at the report of that, this is how the people respond in Numbers chapter 14. See if it sounds familiar. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. And they said to each other, we should choose another leader to go back to Egypt. Man, they've been gone over 2 years, maybe closer to three at this point. But they sound the same, don't they? It's the same complaint. Man, we were more comfortable back in Egypt. Were you? Because I read the stuff in the chapters before that. And it didn't sound like a place that anybody would voluntarily want to be. You were familiar with your oppression, and so you're comfortable with that. You lack resiliency, and you'll settle for the least. And so we should find another leader that'll take us back to Egypt. Probably have to go the long way, because I don't know if God's going to open the sea and let you cross on dry land again to go back to your oppression. See, they didn't change. See, they were in the middle of the river, and things were being uncomfortable, and guess what? They started milling around. And do you know what took place there? You know the story. God said, this generation is not going to go into the promises. For 40 years, and he called it out by the number, for 40 years, you're going to wander in this desert, and everybody who's age 20 and older is going to die in the desert. Do you understand? Okay, do you understand that the transformation process for God's people was intended to take 2 years, and everybody was supposed to go into the promises? And because they began to mill around, because they resisted the process of change, it took 40 years. And those who resisted what God was doing missed out on the promise. Now, he still provided for them. They still had favor. They still had manna every morning, and they had quail every evening. He protected them from foreign invaders. He preserved their lives. He was still faithful in all that he did, but they didn't get to enjoy what he ultimately had desired for them because they resisted the transformation process. They were in the middle and started milling around. And when we go to milling around in the transformation process, we risk losing some things that God's trying to do in us. And at the very least, you're going to extend the time of the process where they went from 2 years to 40 years. Now, at the end of that, at the end of the 40-year process that was only supposed to take two, the people of God have changed. And they actually have a new leader at this point, where Joshua is now the leader of the nation. And he sends spies in, and they come back. And this is the response of the spies and the people in Joshua chapter 2. They said to Joshua, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear at us." Oh, that's a difference, isn't it? Where 40 years earlier, it was the people of God who were trembling in fear at man. That had to be transformed. That had to be changed. And now it is the people of God whom mankind is in fear of. See, there was a transformation process that took place there. And that becomes the Jordan River crossing, where the priests go into the river and they have to get wet and they have to get to the middle, and then the waters part and the people go through and they enter into the promised land. And you can read Joshua and you can read the rest of kind of the Old Testament narrative of Israel's history, and you can see them enjoy the favor of God as they walk into the fullness of God's promises. But they had to be transformed first, and crossing the Red Sea was entering into the process, and the wilderness was actually the process of change. That was intended to take 2 years, but became 40 years. Listen to me, because they began to mill around. And so for you and I, there's a beautiful lesson here about the things that God is trying to do in and through us. The places where Christ is challenging you to change. The place where you read in Scripture and it reads like a mirror to your soul and you say, this is what a follower of Yahweh looks like. This is what a follower of God looks like. But man, that doesn't look like me. That's unfamiliar. There's some things in me that need to mature. There's some things in me that need to grow and change. There's some fruitfulness that's lacking. There's some pruning that is needed. That when we begin to become aware of those things, we can say yes to entering into a transformation process. But if we are not purposed to push through that process, to push through the places where it's uncomfortable, where it's costly, where it's taking a longer time than we thought, where we become fearful or we have doubt or it's unfamiliar, if we're not willing to continue to push through that process, we risk not changing at all, or at the very least extending the time. And I have sensed in myself, as we've been going through a really weird season as a nation, and we've had to make adjustments as pastors and leaders within the church community, and as people are trying to really get a sense of, you know, where can I put my feet when all the foundations seem to be shifting. We walked through, as a church family, 21 days of prayer and fasting, and many of us kind of pressed into that, and we could say, man, God's doing some really deep things in me. He's making some change. But here's what I can tell. as things are kind of starting to open up, as things are becoming a little bit more familiar, I can sense in myself a milling around. I can sense in myself a wanting to go back to the things that are familiar, to go back to the way that things were. And that has been something that has been kind of like a little red flag to my soul that says, you're risking going back to what was instead of moving into what could be. And what could be is always better. The promises of God, the places that he is going, the places where Jesus says, come and follow me, not wait here, not stay here, come and follow me. There's another place, there's another opportunity, there's another work that I'm doing. Those are the things that our hearts really long for. But I can sense it in myself, and I can sense in others, like this milling around. And I would just encourage you this morning that if there are places in you where God is challenging you to grow, even if it hurts, even if it's taking longer than you thought, even if it's something that's costly or unfamiliar, can you push through that pain point and endure to the end so that you can emerge on the other side? Because it was the people of God who endured even that 40-year hardship that made the Jordan River crossing and stepped into the promised land. And so here's just a couple quick questions for us to entertain this morning when it comes to this personally. Where do we start? If my tendency is to resist transformation, how can I resist that tendency? How do I keep from milling around? I'm going to give you just a few thoughts this morning. If you got your Bible and you're an underliner or a note taker, you might want to highlight these verses. But in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul reminds us about how God upholds his part. He says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. See, even though the process for God's people went from 2 years to 40 years, God stayed faithful. He brought about the transformation, and he upheld all of his faithful promises during the process, and he ultimately brought his people to emerge out as the people that they were supposed to be. Spiritual victors. He brought them through that. And whatever process God begins to invite you into where you say yes, even if you go to milling around, can I tell you, he doesn't abandon you. He doesn't give up on the process. He doesn't say, well, they're too hard-hearted, they'll never change. He just says, well, okay, this is going to take longer than you thought it was. Like, he doesn't bail on us. And it's a beautiful thing to remember. Even if you're in a place where you feel yourself pulling back from the things that God is trying to do in you, he is not pulling away from you. He'll be faithful to the process. And so here's four things that we can do that have to do with short, tiny adjustments for us that can be helpful in the way that we respond. Knowing that God isn't going to bail, knowing that God isn't going to step out, and that the timeline of the process in some ways is determined by our willingness to continue to move forward in it. Number one is adjust your expectation. I don't know how long they thought it was going to take to get to the promised land. Maybe they thought it was going to be shorter than 2 years, and so they were grumbling about that. But 2 turned to 40 because their expectation was wrong. And sometimes the things that God is doing in me, I have an expectation that, hey, I said yes, why isn't this done yet? Instead of recognizing that I said yes to God beginning the work in me, and I've got to see that process through. Number 2 is surrender to the process. Say yes to what God is doing in you. Number 3 is walk by faith. Trust him to be faithful. Listen to me, even if you don't understand what's going on, sometimes we say yes to the work that God begins to do in us, and we consider the whole of the process as being just being determined by us. But God may be needing to work in others or in other places in order to bring you to the fullness of what he has for you. Just keep walking by faith and trust, even if you don't understand it. And number four, and I think this is the most important, there has to be a resolve in you to say, I'm not going back. See, at some point in the transformation process, you have to be able to look back at Egypt and say, I would rather die in the desert than go back to less. I would rather die in the desert risking everything for the kingdom of God. I would rather lose it all for the sake of Christ than to gain the world and whatever it is that would offer. Like, there has to be a resolve, a place where you are willing to lose any comfort that the world would offer you to pursue the things of the kingdom of God. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul gives us a picture of that type of resolve. He says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. If there's a sense in you right now that the work that God is doing, that you're beginning to resist that, that you're starting to kind of pull away and begin to mill around, there needs to be a resolve that happens in you where you forget all of that that's familiar but less than what God has for you, and you press on, press ahead into the things that he's promised. Amen? I'm going to ask you to stand. Worship team, if you would come back forward. For just a moment, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and to close your eyes, just as a way of quieting your heart and closing out distractions. As we look at the process of transformation, the process of change that God brings, there really is kind of three distinct stages. And that first stage is just kind of saying yes. It's stepping into the water. It doesn't get you to the other side. It just gets you in to the process. And for some hearts here, maybe you've never actually said yes to anything that God has kind of coaxed into your path. Maybe you just ended up in church by accident this morning, or maybe you've been kind of on a spiritual journey and you're kind of looking for something. You're not even really sure what. Maybe some of you have heard the call of Jesus to come and to follow him, and you've resisted that for a while for a number of reasons. Maybe you've been comfortable in your brokenness, or maybe you have been overwhelmed by it and believe that you can't be made whole. There's been something in you that has resisted the invitation to surrender. For anyone who might be in that place this morning, before we move on, if you need to receive salvation, forgiveness, if you would repent, if you would this morning just say, man, I'm saying yes to Jesus, taken that first step of faith. I believe that he died, and that he rose again, and that in him is forgiveness. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, if you need to make that profession of faith today, if you need to receive salvation, just ask that you would just kind of put up your hand or lift up your eyes and catch mine. Just want to make sure that we give people that opportunity. And there may be those of us who are here who are being called into a season of change. You know that the Lord's been asking you to take a step of faith, to begin to move. You've resisted that process. Would you say yes to him today? Maybe some of us who have entered into that and it's taking longer than we thought. God, I thought I'd be done with this, or I didn't know it was going to hurt this much or take this long or cost so much. If you know that today you can identify an area in your life where you've just kind of been milling around, and you would allow the Holy Spirit right now to come riding in like one of those seasoned cowboys to bust that up and to get your nose pointed in the right direction and to strengthen the resolve of your spirit that you would move forward into the things of God. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, if you just put your hands out in front of you as if you were asking him to take your hand and to lead you forward. Lord, you see those hearts indicated by those hands outstretched. God, we don't want to just spin in circles complaining. We don't want to just find ourselves extending our time in the process because of our obstinance or our hard hearts. Lord, we surrender to you today. And Holy Spirit, we say, ride in and straighten this out. Get us pointed in the right direction and strengthen our resolve. Adjust our expectations. Bolster our faith. Lord, we trust you even if we don't understand how we're actually going to get to the other side. The water's rising. Our footing is lost. We feel like we're swimming and swirling in a torrent that we can't navigate. Lord, would you lead us? And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would give us the courage to press on toward the goal for which God has called us heavenward in Christ. Lord, that we would truly in this season cross over. That we would cross over in the places that you are coaxing transformation in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Action steps for this week. There's three of them. If you got your smartphone or tablet, you can snap some pictures of it. Number one is just consider this question. In what area is Christ looking to bring transformation in you? Number two, where are you resisting that work? And then number three, prayerfully surrender to that process and move forward as he leads.